A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. And my special guest this morning is Brother Tom Walsh from Cordell Castle Island. Brother Tom Walsh, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Delighted to be here. Thank you very much.
I had you on earlier in the year because you were fundraising for an Indian project, a building project. But now I want to talk to you a little bit about yourself, your vocation, your work, your life. So, Brother Tom, where did it all begin?
Well, I'm from Cordell, just outside Castle Island. And I was born in 1963 into a Catholic family, a very strong Catholic family. And we would have said the rosary every night. We mightn't be looking forward to saying the rosary, but we did as a family.
That sounds kind of normal from my interviews with people.
Yes.
They'd be messing during the rosary.
Yes, but if we were, we might have to stop and start again. So
start all over again.
The messing would stop fairly quickly.
Was the religious formation coming from your father, your mother? Where was it coming from?
Well, it was both, especially my mother, right? She would be saying, take down the rosary and we'd start. But then I used to see my father going down on his knees before going out, getting the cattle. We were dairy farmers, so I often saw him and wondered why he would be doing that, right? Because we didn't pray like as a group in the morning, but we'd see him before he went out to work, milking the cows and everything. But as a family, we were very, very Catholic, very Christian. And so was all the families surrounding you. You know, on Sunday, we'd meet outside the church and have a great gathering, chat and talks and everything. We played a lot of Gaelic football, so everyone knew each other. Back then, everyone looked out for one another and cared for one another.
Right? Are you romanticising it a bit, Tom?
Maybe, but they were happy days. They were great days. We had little or nothing, mass and Gaelic football and watching games and getting out to those. There was no television, there was no mobile phones, right? So you depended on neighbours and everyone and talk and share and everything. That's what happened.
You have very positive memories.
Oh, fantastic. And like there was 8 in our family. So we had to look out for one another and care for one another and everything. Most families in the area were all big families.
Right? Yeah, so, my own as well, and dairy farmers too. And what were the things that you had fun at? There was plenty of prayer. When did you have fun?
Well, neighbours would come together and we'd play football in the evening. And often it would be dark and my mother or father would have to come out and tell us, get in home or whatever. But we were free and easy and we played a lot of sport and we worked on the farm and saving the hay and cutting turf and everything, right? We made it enjoyable. We knew we had to do it. So you might as well put your best foot forward and do your best and have a bit of fun and crack while you're at it. All the other neighbours were cutting turf around the same time and we'd be saluting and talking to them and sharing with them and everything. They were good days.
And I know your sister, Carmel Costello, she's doing the Lay Leaders programme with us here in the diocese and I worked with her for many years. Right. Were you as good at the set dancing as Carmel is?
No. No, although we did do dancing in Cordell and Kilmurry Primary School when we were there. We certainly enjoyed polka dancing and everything.
What about music, singing, anything like that, Tom?
Yes, but when we had get-togethers as a family, we all sang. Every one of us sang.
So you can sing?
I am, but I haven't for a long time.
That's hardly something you give up doing, is it?
Well, in community, we sing in our prayers and everything. So we do. I think it's a special gift that we have as a family. And we often, when we get together, we just sing and ask each individual to sing. And it's happening with the next generation as well, which is fantastic.
So lots of fun. Some hard times as well.
Yes, we lost my sister. Right. She died of jaundice when I was very young. And that was a big difficulty in the family. Right. And I often saw my mother. She'd be in tears when we'd come home from primary school because instead of 6, there was only 5. And often I said to her, why are you crying? She said, no, it's nothing at all. But later we found out it was because her daughter, right, was taken early. She was only 11 at the time and of yellow jaundice and they couldn't find any cure at that time. So that was a difficult time.
Such hardship. The death of a child in a family, because again, we would have had that, it leaves a fierce sadness all the time.
It does, but I think our faith, we're strong in our faith, and I think that saw us through, and there was a big number of us, so we all had to help one another. Right.
But sometimes the strongest faith is shaken when a big tragedy happens with a child.
Yes, but there's such a support from family and the parish, and everybody kind of supports and helps when difficulty comes. I think my mother took the longest to get over it, if she ever really got over it.
I think you never get over it.
You know, and like we were young, so we'd remember and call to the grave and everything and have anniversary masses and everything, right? But we still see her as part of our family and everything and visit the graves and everything. My own father then passed away and my sister passed away, Martina. So there was other tragedies, like, and we lost our mother in 2004. And like, we really look back now and appreciate having them and the gift that they were to us down through the years and the impact that they had and what they left with us forever, the values that they gave us, and hopefully we're carrying them on.
And what were those values?
Love, joy, caring, great respect for God and great respect for your neighbour, and hard working and do your best and enjoy life as much as possible and help and support anyone who looks for help and care. And I suppose that's where I might have gone into the volunteer work and everything.
Time for some music, Tom. Here I Am, Lord, Colin Ray.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people. Pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. I will hold your people in my heart.
So, Brother Tom, the vocation, your vocation, when did you begin to move that direction?
So I went away to boarding school up in Laois, Castletown in Laois. It was a De La Salle juniorate.
And boarding schools were expensive in those days.
Well, they were. But I think with the De La Salles, there was reductions, right? And my brother had gone before us, right? And he had been there. And I spent 3 years there. And we saw the brothers, right, teaching, laughing, working, right, playing sports and everything. And that impressed me. And we were with them the whole time. And we had mass every morning. And you had a choice, lie in bed or get up for mass. For me, it was a no-brainer. I got up for mass every morning. I could have stayed on in bed. I don't know why, but I used to. And see the brothers praying, hear them praying, and then have mass and then start the day. That really stuck to us.
It sounded like you enjoyed your life at home and that you enjoyed helping out in the farm and that you enjoyed the company of your family. How did you feel when you were wrenched away to boarding school?
It was difficult at first.
And you'd have been young.
Oh, I was only 12 going on 13 and got on a train in Farnforth, no one with me. And you have your bag and told, change in Mallow and get on the train to Dublin, get off in Portlaoise and go to a school. My parents would probably be arrested today and we'd put in care, right? But that was the way things were done. And when I think back in it, I can go now anywhere in the world. I don't have a worry. Off you go since that very first day. When we got there then, we met young people from all over the country. Some of them are still my best friends to this day. So what I lost at home, we had a big family. We had something like 90 to 100 students in the school. And you get on very well with them. We'd school on a Saturday. And so we'd a half day Wednesday, we'd have sports in the afternoon. Saturday, we'd had a half day and again, more sports. Right, so we had a lovely life there. Right?
No homesickness.
At the beginning, terrible, the first couple of days. But then you were told, be brave, right? And you learned. Going back after Christmas as well was tough when you were at home for a couple of weeks at Christmas. We'd get longer holidays because we had 6 days a week in school, right? And the holidays were longer. So going back after Christmas was tough. And then we went to Fatelig, which is now Fatelig House, the hotel and golf course and everything. We were there for 2 years and we went into De La Salle Waterford each day for school and go back out. They were two fantastic years, right? And we saw hurling and football and soccer and basketball and everything to a higher degree, right? And made great friends there. And the boarders were there and there was many Kerry boarders right there at the time as well.
So you fit right in. You have no negative memories of school at all.
Really, looking back in it, no. We were treated very well, right, in both places. And I'm talking with my two brothers who were in boarding as well. They found it exactly the same. We really enjoyed it. And we saw the brothers in Waterford. We lived in Fatelig with the brothers and some elderly men. And they were there like our best friends and supporting you and helping you and everything. After that, I joined the brothers.
Tell me again about the vocation. It sounds like you almost just settled into going to mass in the morning and you settled into the life. Was there a moment when I decided I want to go this route?
Well, I think when we were in Castletown and we were in Turgier, one of the brothers came in and he asked us one day, what do you want to be?
That's your junior cert.
Yes, we were in junior cert. And the brother came in and he asked, what do you want to be? Right, and the fellas were going to be doctors and engineers and everything. And he said, that's what you want. Did you ever stop and think, what does God want? Right, and we looked around and said, what has God got to do with it? And like, it was the first time that ever struck me. I saw the brother's life. I saw them working, playing, right, having fun, laughing and everything. 24/7, because we were there with them for a couple of months and then go home and holidays back again. We were there for 3 years. And I said, I would love to do something like that. If they will take me, right? They may not take me or accept me into the brothers or whatever. So I applied. I told my mother and she was very happy. And my father, I'd say, wanted me to stay at home and work on the farm and help out. And off we go. And I remember my mother said, if anything ever happens and you want to leave the brothers or you're not happy there, there's always a place here. And I left with no regrets or whatever, joined the brothers, and thank God I haven't looked back since.
Now, I would have known a lot of Salesian brothers, and you're quite similar in ethos, yes. I presume, or charism. A lot of the brothers became priests later on. Were you never tempted to do that?
We were asked several times. Right, De La Salle, he was born 373 years ago on the 30th of April. He was a priest and he sent some of the brothers off to become a priest. And the first guy he sent off died. So De La Salle saw it as a sign from God. He did not want priests. He wanted school teachers. And there was no school teachers trained like as we are today. And he wanted just a religious order with vows, not to be controlled by priests, and to look after kids in school and provide a Christian education for kids. And taking them off the streets in France. And right, he taught them French. He taught them catechism. He taught them whatever industries were locally, he'd try and train them preparing for that.
Do you have De La Salle priests?
No.
Only brothers?
Only brothers. There are some that had left the brothers and became priests. So they're priests, but they're no longer De La Salle brothers.
For listeners who aren't familiar, what is the difference between a brother and a priest?
Well, a priest is either in a religious order of priests or they're in a diocese. Right, and they're controlled by the superior of that order or a bishop. Right, we De La Salle brothers, we belong to a religious order. We are teachers. We could be professors in universities. We have our own superior general, and they decide where we go and who transfers and everything. The bishops can't transfer us. Our priests can't transfer us. They can't. And that was a huge problem when De La Salle was setting up the order. The diocese and clerics wanted to control us, and De La Salle said no, we would be independent of them and be able to transfer. Maybe like the sisters, the mercy or the presentation or whatever, they have total control over their own rules and their own appointments and transfers and everything.
You have never had a desire, Brother Tom, to become a priest when you see such a shortage of priests today?
Well, I was in Maynooth. I did my degree in Maynooth. And across the way was the seminary, right? And that time, when I was doing my first year degree, there was 90 first years, right? 90 first years from all over the country, right? Doing the first year in the seminary. And it was massive to see the numbers and the crowds and everything. And there was, what, 7 years? So there was a huge number. Some of those guys became great friends with me. Some of them asked me, would I not join the priesthood? And I said I was not worthy, right? So I've never really, really thought of joining the priesthood. No, I love working with young people, right? And if I was in the priesthood, you'd have parish work to do, you'd have funerals to be doing and everything, and marriages. No, I work with young people all my life, and I'm really, really happy to be working with young people, and I'd be happy enough to continue and work on behalf of young people and support them.
I'm in conversation with Brother Tom Walsh. Come back to us after this short break.